The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. But you don't understand.
Because I'm a genius.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
It's getting weird!
And here we go.
It's the Riffs and Rants podcast with your host, Johnny Teflon.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Establishment. And we'll be right back after the first gem of the day. Yes, as if everybody didn't already know it, that was the title track from Flash Gordon by the one and only Queen. That actually came out in 1980 on Elektra Records, and it was the only track released off of the soundtrack, and it went to number 23 in the United States. Obviously, it topped the charts in Great Britain, and we chose this song not just because it's amazing and kicks ass, but the opening topic tonight is going to be about movie soundtracks. I am joined this evening with my tried and true cohorts, Andy B.
How you doing?
And the wacky Mr. John James.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. And that's the best phrase you could possibly come up with. You're on fire today, sir. It's all about rock and roll, but occasionally some melodies too. Because tonight, basically, the episode is all about movie musical magic.
It's a kind of magic.
Case in point, movie soundtracks. It used to be, back in the day, like, let's say, I don't know, especially the 80s, a movie came out And part of what made that movie memorable and historic was the soundtrack that came with it. The songs they chose, the new songs that were made for it. And that's something that they just don't do anymore unless it's something being put out by Disney, with a couple exceptions. So whether it be a training montage set to an inspirational instrumental, a lighthearted love song during a trip to the carnival, or a rousing score to herald the entrance of the hero, I think music adds so much to all the movies that we love. Again, not so much anymore. So before we talk about some of our favorite movie soundtracks, why do you guys think that we don't see these epic productions anymore?
Movie theater or movie production companies are lazy.
And music nowadays sucks.
Wow, now you sound like you're my age.
It sucks a lot.
It does. Like, how many Post Malone, Bing Bong, Dupa Lupa, Beyonce bullshit songs we gotta hear? They're just out there to sell a record. They're not there to sell a movie. Like, let's talk about movies during the 80s and 90s. You heard Axel F, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yep.
You hear Ghostbusters. You know what you're thinking of.
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah. Ghostbusters. You hear the Back to the Future, Power of Love. You think of those movies. Now, if you look at any song that comes out now that's on a movie soundtrack, get that weird Wallflowers or what is it? Sunflower songs or whatever from the new Spider-Man garbage from Post Malone. Do you think about the movie or do you just think about Post Malone and his weird fucking face fat tattoos and shit?
Good point. Right?
Yep. You know, the Barbie movie, like what songs came off the bar? That Billie Eilish song? Do you care about Barbie? No, you just want to hear
I don't
hear
care about Billie Eilish either.
Yeah, those weird songs. So like they don't put stock in it. Like we need soundtracks like the Ghostbusters or like Will Smith with his Men in Blacks. His Wild Wild Wests. We need songs where, like, the movie is the song. The song is the movie. We don't get that anymore, you know? That's just my that's just my old man rant.
No, and you nailed it. You're absolutely right. What do you think, Andy?
I mean, I got to agree with John. It just, they don't, there's no, you don't think, you don't hear a song and think of the movie that it came from anymore. You say, that's just another... Just that's another rapper whose name is Lil something.
Yeah. A little waste of my time is what it should be.
A lot of it depends on the director, too, because I could think of two off the top of my head, Quentin Tarantino and Martin Scorsese, that always make sure the soundtrack is an integral part of their movie experience. It lends something to the piece, whether it's a feeling or from a historical standpoint. But a lot of directors now just, you're right, they don't care. And the stuff that the studios are churning out, they want whoever's popular to do one hit so they could like maybe attach it to the movie. But I, too, agree with John. He nailed it. It's, you know, the days of the music lending its identity to the movie and vice versa are over. And yeah, maybe there's a dollars and cents issue.
Well, look, like... Prince had two of the hugest soundtracks in the 80s. Yep. Like they literally, he did an entire movie called Purple Rain, which had jams upon jams on it. And then he did the entire soundtrack to Batman, which had jams upon jams on it.
One or two jams. You know, let's not get crazy.
Well, look, Bat Dance was crazy.
Stop the press. Who is that?
That was good. Let's Go Crazy is also a good
song. Oh, you're the one that bought crazy. It. Okay.
Yeah. But like, you know, just Back to the Future soundtrack, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yep.
Ghostbusters, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Say Anything, Top Gun. You name all those movies.
Any the Goonies, of the Rocky even movies.
Had, yeah. You name a movie, you know the songs.
Yep.
Name those movies nowadays. Like the top 20 movies, what, in the last like 10 years, looking at them. Maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy, they had some good soundtracks, but they were just old songs.
Right.
Nothing new. But like, you just look at these lists of the of these movies and there's no soundtrack. But back in the 90s, remember how many soundtracks there was? It was like in like late 90s, it was like the Men in Black soundtrack. There was Titanic. Mm-hmm. There was a Batman Forever with Kiss from a Rose.
Yep.
Just, man, you know,
that's funny because that Batman Forever soundtrack was like under the radar good.
Yeah. Oh, it was really good. And then that's the Godzilla soundtrack with P. Diddy. Huh?
Yeah. That's what killed Led Zeppelin right there.
That's what brought Led Zeppelin back to Diddy parties. But even then, like, remember there was a song from Bullworth. Remember the movie Bullworth?
Yes.
Ghetto Superstar.
Exactly. There you go.
You remember it because of that song.
Yep.
We don't have that anymore. Dangerous Minds.
Oh, Coolio.
Yeah. See, we don't have that anymore.
I feel like you're a psychiatrist and you're playing word association games with us.
Armageddon.
Aerosmith.
Yeah. We don't got that anymore. Try to play any of these dumb Barbie songs. Like they're doing a concert in Hartford where they play the Barbie movie and play the music to it. What songs on a Barbie movie they're going to play like orchestra? Who wants to listen to that shit?
I know somebody who's a very big fan.
Ryan Gosling, I'm Just Ken. It's a jam, okay. Sir.
Yeah.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
I celebrate the guy's entire catalog.
I bet.
It didn't win. The other song from Barbie won, but.
But even then, like the Disney movies back then had soundtracks.
Disney movies what?
Had soundtracks. The Lion King.
They still do.
Little Mermaid.
But other than that Frozen song, I mean, and Frozen. That one from
Mulan.
Encanto had a very good soundtrack. And
Moana did too.
Moana did too. Both of them better than Frozen. But in context,
full disclosure, Andy has two young daughters and John has a young wife, and that's why they listen to Disney soundtracks.
Aww. They also are true. They're also full of jams.
They are jam. They do have some jams. You're Welcome is a jam, but
You're Welcome, I mean, is a jam.
Disney cartoons with Pixar withstanding, none of the new movies have any good soundtracks anymore.
Well, let me ask you this before we go into our choices. Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that, you know, for all intents and purposes, the act of going out to the movies to see a movie is all but dead, and it's like ranking next to printed materials now at this point?
I mean, this is true. A lot of movies now are just IPs.
On the big screen, it's just a whole different experience than watching it at home.
And even plus, then, like a,
I mean, you don't get the big group of people at once listening to it. Where everybody, I remember seeing Ghostbusters when it first came out. Everybody was just like jamming the minute Ghostbusters, the song came on. And it was probably never going to be as big if they had to wait until everybody watched it on their TVs at home and then got together and said, hey, that opening track was kind of neat.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, but even movies nowadays can back then they could reignite a song. Remember Wayne's World?
Yep.
With Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yep.
Yeah. They don't really, they even made a whole ass movie about Queen called Bohemian Rhapsody and did not bring back Bohemian Rhapsody like Wayne's World brought back Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, because you still can't play that shit on the radio. It's too damn long. That being said, here we are, the segue of all segues. I had asked my fellow panelists to discuss our three favorite movie soundtracks. Now, they don't necessarily have to be musicals, just a collection of great songs played during the movie, and then they were featured on a soundtrack that you could purchase in the store, all right? So, going first, real quick, my number one is Goodfellas, because all famous classic rock songs and jams on there. I love the historical tie-in to the story as they're telling it, how the songs progress. And, yeah, that's something that, again, Martin Scorsese puts in all of his movies, where music is always a focal point. My number two, cheesiness aside, Flash Gordon is just amazing because of the Queen soundtrack. And you could probably say the same thing for Highlander. Amazing. And probably the reason Flash Gordon as a soundtrack only sold, I don't know, 10 million copies was because they actively put scenes and audio from the movie in it. So anybody that didn't see the movie really couldn't, relate, you know. The guitars are great, the drums are great, but unless you saw the movie, it's kind of going to fall flat. And then my last one, total guilty pleasure, New Jack City. I mean, not only when that comes on do I stop whatever it is I'm doing, but it's an amazing soundtrack. Totally captured my early 90s in a nutshell. So, bang. Those are my three. Andy, what do you got?
So I don't know if this is necessarily in order, but I'm going to kind of put it in order.
All right.
Number one, I have the 8 Mile soundtrack. Entire soundtrack is just full of very good music. Eminem was at his peak, so he was, you know, at the top music-wise, and then he was like, oh, let me put out a movie, and let me put out just a soundtrack, which is banger after banger after banger.
Banger after banger after banger.
He also put a bunch of his friends on the soundtrack. Like, he put the Obie Trice has an amazing song on the album. It's probably top for me. Number two would be the Rocky IV soundtrack.
Because, I'm giving him thumbs up, folks. You can't see this, though.
Because it has an amazing training montage song. It has James Brown. And what else do you need? Like, even the instrumentals are amazing.
Word.
And number three is the soundtrack to South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Because every single one of those songs is fantastic. I still probably know the lyrics to every single one of them. And it's the movie wouldn't have been the movie without the songs that they had in it.
I'm guessing those are original tracks produced by the folks at Soundtrack, South Park?
100%.
Okay. You never heard of Uncle Fucker?
Oh, who doesn't know that tune?
That's a great song.
It's my ringtone.
It is. That was my wedding song.
All right, Wacky John James, what do you got?
So I want to say all the Ghostbusters movies soundtracks are great, but the last two really haven't had any soundtracks, so Ghostbusters 1 is probably right on top. Ghostbusters 2 is right up there. I don't really have an order. I'm not even going to give you three. I'm going to give you a bunch because I live in soundtracks, movie soundtracks. So Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2, 2016 Ghostbusters was a jam. Men in Black soundtrack, loved it. There was the Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West was it had that. Do you remember on they had the MTV Movie Awards and they played that song, like Will Smith and Drew Hill performed it, and they brought Stevie Wonder out and he was playing and then they left him on stage because they forgot to get him. He's just sitting there all blind and shit, sitting on the fucking stage. We're gonna bring him back. Wild Wild West was great. Space Jam soundtrack, I Believe I Could Fly. That was the first time I heard Jay-Z. He was on a song, I think with Destiny's Child, so maybe that's where that came.
Yeah, we're talking the original, not that flop.
No, not that. Not that LeBron did. Well, no, they didn't put a soundtrack out for that, which is why it flopped, because Space Jam made it because of their soundtrack. Blues Brothers had a great soundtrack back in the day, man. Like I said, Batman Forever, jamming out to that for many years. Oh, and the Ninja Turtles movies, the TURTLE Power. Turtle Power by Partners in Crime. It's a jam. I wanted to walk out. Wanted to walk into my
go reception ninja, at my go wedding ninja, to that song. Go.
Carly said no. Yeah. Oh, Go Ninja Go. No, it goes Ninja Turtles 2. Yeah. Yeah. Vanilla Ice. So yeah, I love movie soundtracks, and it's a shame that we don't get that anymore. Like, kids don't get that anymore. They just
I think it also has to do with streaming, because
streaming.
Musicians
ruined everything.
Musicians don't need to have their music tied to a movie anymore. They can just put it on Spotify.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's a lot to that. It's just, you know, the business has changed so radically. Just like when we talked about sitcoms, the revenue models for these things now is so convoluted. And it just, you know, I don't think we're ever going to see soundtracks like that again, unless it's something like that Broadway show, Rock of Ages, when that came out, and the movie, they should have left it by all the original artists in the thing. I think it would have been better instead of having like different, you know, newbies sing the stuff. Yeah. But if you come up with a movie like that or a musical about music, you know, if it makes sense like that, then you put it together. But again, even something like Men in Black, you mentioned.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
The music was secondary, but it all like tied in with the movie. And I guess what I'm trying to say is just there's too many people in the room that want the top billing, okay? So the director's got his vision, whatever, and then the studio's saying, yeah, well, we want to incorporate like this artist. And he's like, no. Oh, this is my thing, okay? And there's too many people that don't want to share.
Message.
And the accolades. I think a lot of it is just very simply that. And these guys, look, we've seen sadly in a lot of movies, especially remakes and stuff, there's no real creativity. It's like a cookie cutter thing. They, you know, it's a formula. It's in black and white. They spit these movies out, and then they wonder why they suck and flop at the box office. So a little creativity goes a long way, and I agree with all the ones you mentioned, except for anything after the first Ghostbusters. You lost me there, John.
Do you understand me? You crazy fuck.
But no, seriously, chance, bro. All the other ones you mentioned, all the ones that Andy mentioned, dead on, you know? And it's just one of those things that, again, sitting in the theater watching these with people that are, like, into it, it's a different kind of movie-going experience than just sitting there and listening to 2 hours of dialogue or instrumentation, you know?
Even a film like Forrest Gump, like, they had, like, two CD album.
Banger!
But it was just all music from the times, but it filmed, you know, it followed the film, yeah. But it brought these songs out. It wasn't like they didn't write these songs for the movie, but this is the movie, the music for the movie. Right. And people bought that soundtrack.
Yep.
They don't do that anymore. Well, because
a lot of those songs, they only appear for like maybe 10, 15 seconds in the movie, but yeah. They were pivotal. Like, who doesn't forget? I'm going to ask you guys right now. When Jenny's on the ledge, going to jump off, what song's playing?
Freebird.
I've never seen
Freebird.
Well done. Yep. So, like, stuff like that, like John was saying, it's iconic. You think of this, you think of that. It's interconnected. Now, my surprise question for you guys for this opening segment is another level of soundtracks. It's the orchestration. Okay.
Scores.
Right. The score. So, John, we'll go with you first. I'll give you three choices. You tell me which one's your favorite.
You already know what my favorite is. Elmer Bernstein scored to Ghostbusters.
Here's your choices. If you're going to make a movie and you got one of these three guys to do your orchestration, who would it be? John Williams, Danny Elfman, or Hans Zimmer?
Danny Elfman.
Andy.
John Williams, but that's because I'm a Star Wars guy, so.
Yeah. I thought of this because it just like popped in my head, but because I had like the Star Wars orchestration. I had the Batman orchestration from Danny Elfman. I mean, and who doesn't love like all the Pee Wee Herman music from his movies?
Well, so, Elfman also did Beetlejuice and he also did Men in Black 1 and 2.
Yep.
Who did Jurassic Park?
That was
That's a good question.
Is it John Williams?
Might have been.
I think it was John Williams.
I don't know. And I threw in Hans Zimmer because he does a lot of the newer movies.
Yeah.
All very
talented. Yeah, it was John Williams.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yes. Williams did the main Jurassic Park theme, so I'm assuming he did the entire movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Out of those three, I got to jump on board with Andy because John Williams is just... I mean, you also got from him, you got Jaws. You got all the Superman movies, right? Indiana Jones. So, yeah, I got to go with John Williams. But they're all super talented. All right. Well, that takes us right up to the middle, Jim. Gentlemen, so far, so good. And leading into the second segment, we're going to go with a little tune from 1978 that everybody is going to know. Because when this movie musical debuted for the next 2 years, it's all everybody talked about. Everybody had the soundtrack. So, naturally, I had to pick a song from the movie Grease. So we're going to spin this tune for you, folks, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes with some more things and stuff.
We can be who-
Yes, an all-time great from 1978. That is Frankie Valli of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons doing the title track to the movie Grease. And not only did that song go to number one, the other song for the soundtrack, You're the One That I Want, that one also went to number one. That soundtrack was a monster. And it also was an amazing album back when they had albums then, because it had all this like stuff on the inside. And like they did like a yearbook, so you saw the characters in Grease like in their like stuff you write at the end of the school year to everybody.
You know what's wild to me is that Frankie Valli still goes out on tour. Yeah. He's like 97 years old. Like they literally cart his carcass out of his sarcophagus on a stage.
Oh, hello, kiddies.
They just lift it up, and he doesn't move. He just kind of sings into a microphone. Because I've seen it.
Doesn't that make them look younger? You can't tell, right?
I don't know. It's just he's so goddamn old, and he still goes out. How many wives does he have? He must have so much, like, alimony or some shit he's got to pay that at 97 years old, he's still going out on tour to sing these shitty songs. And he has the Four Seasons, but the Four Seasons, like, you know, the old Four Seasons have already gone through all their seasons. So, like, he has these new, like, 19-year-old Four Seasons. So there's, like, these young strapping guys singing and gyrating around this old corpse of a man. Like, it's...
But people still pay money to go see him. That's how all those old-timey acts are.
No, because they don't pay to go see him. What it is, they bring him to all the casinos where the old people go to
savings.
They give him free tickets to this Frankie Valli show.
I mean, look, the friggin' Beach Boys, there's only two Beach Boys left. Mike Love, the lead singer and the biggest dick out of the group, and the little guy, Al Jardine. They're so dysfunctional that they trade, like, who has rights to tour with the Beach Boys' name, because they can't stand each other. They won't go together. So recently, Mike Love sued for control of the Beach Boys, because apparently the band that Al Jardine had was shitty.
There's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster.
And I guess the surviving relatives of the other Beach Boys, they get a vote, and they're like, yes, you're better suited to represent our legacy. Guy's got to be in his 80s.
Nobody knows who the Beach Boys are if it wasn't for Full House and Uncle Jesse. So just
give the rights
to John Stamos and just let him go out on tour. Like, I would rather go see John Stamos go out on tour and play Beach Boys songs than the old farts fucking who are actually.
This is why you fail.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
On this rant, but I'm just saying, Andy, what about you? Would you rather see John Stamos or the actual Beach Boys?
John Stamos, because he's dreamy, obviously.
Yes, Jess. I want to see Jesse and the Rippers doing all the Beach Boys songs. And you can even cart Frankie Valli's old ass out there, too, and let him sing with them. I don't need to see the Beach Boys. Anyway, I digress. What are we talking about?
Okay, so the subtopic tonight, still all about the music. Here's where we discuss our top three favorite musicals or music-based movies. So whereas before, yeah, there was like music in these movies, but there wasn't the characters singing and everything. It was stuff that was made by other people, laid in for effect. This time, it's all about that performance aspect of the whole thing. So again, to make life easy on you guys, I'll go first. First and foremost, and it wasn't even close, I'm a big fan of The Who, so for me, the soundtrack to Tommy, just the whole movie in general, love it, love it, love it. I think I like it more now than I did 20 years ago. Must be because I'm getting older. And they had, you know, like Tina Turner from the 60s. She did a track on it. The different members of The Who, especially Keith Moon, the crazy drummer, plays all these different characters in the movie. And they're just like stuff they didn't do in the 60s to talk about, like drug abuse and diddling kids and just all kinds of dysfunctional, disgusting crap. But at the end of the day, it's a very sweet and deep meaning to the movie, which I'm not going to share with anybody. You got to find out yourselves. So that was number one. Number two, the Blues Brothers. It's kind of hard to compete with that.
One unused prophylactic, one soiled.
Especially now, since most of the artists that performed in that are super famous, but they're all dead. So And yeah, number three was a toss-up, but I did go with Grease because of the cultural phenomenon that it was at the time. My honorable mention, which you two have not seen, is a little something called Bugsy Malone. You can find clips on YouTube. John, you have a little bit of time in your hands now. Check it out tomorrow. You'll thank me later.
Thank you.
He's not going to check it out.
He's not going to check it out. Andy might, though, because he's a musical guy.
I'm definitely not going to check it out.
Better. I'm not paying you guys until you check it out. Give me a book report on it. Andy, you're up.
Okay. So I'm going to do this in reverse order. I'm going to go number three. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, the movie itself is fantastic.
Yep.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
And Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys is an absolute jam.
Yep.
Number two, Purple Rain.
All right.
I mean, it's Purple Rain. It's Prince. That's all you really need to say. I mean, there's not a bad song on the album.
Not at all.
It's got Morris Day and the motherfucking time.
That motherfucking time.
You're two for two.
And number one, as you probably expected, Disney's Newsies.
What's okay. that about?
Yeah, I've never seen Newsies before. I need to understand the fascination with Newsies.
Okay, so well, I'll give you a synopsis of the movie, and then I'll
wasn't
give you,
Christian Bale in that?
Christian Bale was in that.
Okay,
and then I will give you my reasoning for why my family loves Newsies so much.
Go right ahead.
So, Newsies is Disney was like we kind of want to make a movie, a historical movie about something that actually happened. So it's based on the Newsboys strike of, shit, I don't even know what year. I can Google it quick, but I don't really want to. It's the early 1900s. Pulitzer was raising the price of newspapers for the Newsies, and they all decided that they were going to go on strike instead of selling the newspapers to make less money. So they started a union, and I do thoroughly enjoy a good union. And then Disney was like, well, we're Disney, so let's make it a musical. And every song is amazing on it. Christian Bale is in it.
And what can't that man do? He's a national treasure.
Exactly. So my family loves Newsies. And the reason that we love Newsies is back when I was a little Andy, we wouldn't go to the movies. We wouldn't go to the movies a lot. And we didn't go to, like, rent movies a lot from, you know, Video Galaxy or Blockbuster or any of those. My dad would take us to the public library. you could rent VHS tapes at the public library. And there were two movies that we would rent over and over and over again. Now, mind you, I was probably 8, 9, maybe. One was Newsies. And every single song was a jam on it. And the other one was Tremors.
Tremors was a jam, too.
I think we're getting a glimpse into your psyche, finally.
Because there's nothing... There's absolutely no reason why a 8 or 9-year-old with a 6-year-old sister and a 3-year-old other sister, 2-year-old other sister, shouldn't be watching a sci-fi movie about giant worms underground starring Kevin Bacon.
And we're all well adjusted now, so
all of us are very well adjusted.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
But that is my reason for liking Newsies. I like it so much. A few years ago, they went on, they turned it into an actual like stage musical.
Uh-huh.
I went with one of my sisters to go watch it.
Ha! Gay!
It was very good. It wasn't as good as the movie because they changed some of the songs, and that it's change scares me. but yeah, that's why Newsies is my number one musical based movie.
Outstanding. All right. Learned so much there. That's a tough act to follow, John.
It is. I will say this first and foremost, I hate musicals. Just thought of a musical. If I even knew a movie was going to be a musical, I would run in the opposite direction. And they're trying to do this shit now where they'll put a musical out and I'm like, a bold new take on Colored Purple. Like, first of all, I didn't watch Colored Purple to begin with. I don't want to fucking watch it while they're singing fucking about being slaves. That's not my thing. My wife made me watch. She's like, oh, there's a new Mean Girls movie. I'm like, okay, we'll take a look. A bold new take on Mean Girls. And she's like, oh, I knew it was a musical. It was a fucking musical. And then we're singing the entire fucking movie. And I'm sorry, I'm swearing, but it was a, like, the only reason you would know it was a musical because the hole in the A was a musical note.
Ah,
okay. It was a little, what do they call them? Clefs or some shit? Yep. Whatever. I hate musicals. So I don't watch them regularly. I've never seen Newsies because it's a fucking musical. But if I had to, like, I guess make a list of the three best movie music related movies, probably all three of the Bill and Ted's, because all they do in those movies is the whole plot of those movies is to make the song that unites the world. And every single movie they write a song and it is terrible.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Watch all like those your movies
take on that.
Watch all those movies. And these songs are supposed to unite the world, and every single one is ass. I think the second one was like, I think Kiss wrote it. What, rock and roll, which, whatever the fuck it was. They're all bad. Even they had a new one. They came out like 3 years ago. They even had Kid Cudi in it.
God sent rock and roll to you.
Yes, and it was awful. But that is the song supposed to unite the world. And I don't think the world will ever be united by rock and roll or any musical movie ever. Unless it is Wild Wild West at the MTV Movie Awards, where they leave Stevie Wonder high and dry on the stage.
What was Stevie Wonder even doing there? They should have brought out Kool Moe Dee, who did the original.
He was there too, and he left Stevie high and dry.
He's probably mad. Kool Moe Dee does not like to share the spotlight. Ask LL Cool J.
He probably does not. I don't know that because I'm too young for this.
They had beef.
Yes.
So but for any of our audience members that have never actually witnessed the burning and explosion and crash of the Hindenburg, John just did the audio equivalent where he came in.
First of all, Andy passionately defended Newsies.
Oh, the humanity.
Nobody has ever in recorded history passionately defended Newsies and then had to follow that up.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
But it was so genuine, you gotta give him points for that.
No, I mean, it was beautiful. It was very heartfelt. I was gonna sit here and talk about a cartoon called Rockadoodle for fucking 20 minutes too if I wanted to.
Rockadoodle had some jams in it.
It did too. It did. Was a Don Bluth film. Yeah, about a rooster that sings Elvis songs. I was gonna follow up. Andy's like, oh, we went to the library. My dad would only get me Tremors. Newsies.
Here's the Andy story. Had everything, and it had adventure. There was like that sentimental sweet part where we couldn't have no movie time. We went to the library.
We got a lot of books at the library, and
there was no other movies there though. But Tremors and Newsies, like
no, there was a lot of other ones, but most of them were trash.
Oh, there wasn't like Fried Green Tomatoes or
there probably was. Jurassic Park was always rented out.
Probably by John James.
Yeah, well, like shit. Why don't we go to the library and get Jurassic Park the book? Just get the movie.
Oh.
This is the town we lived in. We just watched the movies. Grew up in Windsor. God,
that was glorious.
So anyway, Rockadoodle was about a
all three Bill and Ted's.
Yeah, all three Bill and Ted's were my three favorite movies. Music. I was gonna say Blues. Did you see Blues Brothers 2000?
Oh, that was horrific.
Oh, it was awful. John Goodman couldn't even save Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah.
John, the only thing
in it. You never John, put the a only, kid.
The only thing that would have been better than saying all three Bill and Ted's is if you said Airheads because the band was trying to get their music played on the radio.
Airheads is a pretty good movie, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was no Newsies or Rockadoodle, man.
Rockadoodle.
Blues Brothers 2000.
I got to show my kids Rockadoodle.
You should show them Rockadoodle. I think it's probably on one of the pluses.
And everyone loves it because there's rockabilly music in it. Hello.
It is. When are you going to do a Rockadoodle Rockabilly Rumble, John? Is that next week? All the songs from the soundtrack of Rockadoodle?
You know what? It might be a good theme. I got a good turnout for the Fallout edition. Might as well try something else.
Yeah, try the Rockadoodle edition.
I don't know if they've seen that movie in like Scandinavia though. That's it's tough. It's tough.
But look, your audience is worldwide.
Yeah.
They gotta learn the beauty of Rockadoodle and Newsies. This is what we want people to walk away from when they listen to this episode. That they need to watch Newsies and Rockadoodle and maybe Tremors.
No, definitely watch Tremors. Not Tremors.
Tremors is really good.
Just like, watch Tremors too.
And if the kids are listening in, they're gonna ask their parents what the hell a library is.
Well, I don't know what kind of audience you bring in, but
the library is where bums hang out now to stay warm in the wintertime.
And to rent Newsies.
And to rent Newsies, exactly.
Again, Andy stumbled on another really important topic. There's a spate. There's issues like libraries across the country are protesting because the only people going to the library are like homeless people, people looking at porn on the computers, and people actually going there to have sex.
Boy lovers.
Instead of, you know, reading books. Go figure.
Wait a minute. First of all,
it's actually a thing.
What library is this?
All over the place.
For research purposes. Second, I don't like the fact that I have to, like, get a card to take out a book. Like, I gotta give them all my information.
Yeah, it's terrible. More difficult to rent a library book than it is to vote.
Exactly.
Hey, I just did some research. Rockadoodle is on Prime Video for free.
What?
Is it?
Really?
Yes, it sure is.
You have to pay for Prime.
Well, yeah, but if you
pay for Prime, you can watch Rockadoodle for free.
Do you not buy stuff on Amazon?
But you still have to pay to watch the new Ghostbusters movie because it's on Prime, but you got to pay to watch it.
Yeah, no, this one's...
So why do I have Prime?
This one's with
Prime. You should probably wait for that one for free.
Yeah, I'm just definitely like gonna wait for that one for free.
John, you gonna watch Rockadoodle tonight with your dog?
No, I'm gonna swiftly go to sleep, and tomorrow's a school day.
You should put Rockadoodle on in the background.
Would it make me fall asleep? That's what AEW is for.
You should put one of the Bill and Ted's on in the background.
First of all, God brings rock and roll to you.
That song's... I actually so like ass. That song by Kiss.
No, it's bad. All songs by Kiss are bad. There's no good Kiss songs.
Okay, now we're off the rails.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
Everybody's
wait, maybe rock. What, Detroit Rock City?
Kiss has their special place in rock.
Look, man, I'm not making fun of you because you like your clown makeup bands. It's okay.
Don't leave Insane Clown Posse out of this.
Oh yeah. We're going to the closing gem now, folks.
It's not Insane Clown Posse, is it?
No, some good old
from the soundtrack to Rockadoodle. Insane Clown
Posse. But a closing gem I picked from my choice for my favorite musical, Tommy, and we got the Who doing Pinball Wizard. Enjoy this, folks. We'll be back in a couple more minutes with some more things and a wrap up.
Just a career.
disciples leading him, and he just does the rest. He's got crazy flipper fingers, never seen him fall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
And yes, 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 as promised, that was The Who doing Pinball Wizard off of the 1969 soundtrack. That song went up to number 19 on the U.S. charts. And, of course, again, within the top five over in the U.K., but it's a British band. What do you expect? And the film version that I love so much, that came out not until 1975 with a lot of A-list celebrities. And my favorite part is just the drummer Keith Moon playing all these different dysfunctional characters. And the guy was just crazy and insane out of his fucking mind. But that's that. So that brings us to that part of the program before we say goodbye. The denouement, which is French for wrap this shit up. The only announcement I got this week for the radio station is that Night Ranger has joined the Classic Rock Showcase. Did that one last week, and that'll be on like a week from now, so keep an eye out for that. And, of course, as always, updated and new versions of the Rockabilly Rumble, and what else? And the Friday Hot Lunch. Did a new one of those this week, too. So that's up on my end. Andy, what do you got going on?
Congratulations to my union for ratifying their contract. That's all I got.
People that have been listening to this show know that I do not support unions in any way, shape, or form.
Goddamn right.
But good for you. I'm glad you're happy.
I am very happy.
I think I'm doing okay for a 15-year-old with a wife and a baby.
That's all I got.
John James.
All right. So everybody watch Rockadoodle. If you have Prime Video, John's going to watch it tonight with his dog. And then he's going to report back to me how many of the songs he loves. Because he will love all the
thousand
songs.
Words.
Yes. And then you can follow me on the Twitter machine at Delvinator1, D-E-L. V-I-N-A-T-O-R 1, because John says people download this show and listen to it. So I want to follow me on the Twitter. Shoot me a Twitter. Just let me know you actually listen to the show, because I don't believe anybody actually listens to the show.
You realize people are really going to come down hard on you for that whole...
I want them to.
Where you just said Bill and Ted for all three choices.
First of all, the people who are going to follow me probably love the Bill and Ted movies, even though those songs are terrible. And they're going to watch Rockadoodle. Because they are my people, not your
people. On Amazon Prime.
On Amazon Prime for free. If you pay for Amazon Prime, it's not. It's like $100 a year.
You'll probably have an, free, you'll have an ad in it unless you pay the extra $2.99 a month.
Yeah, but it's still, yeah. And then go to your local library and rent out Newsies and Tremors for Andy and let him know.
VHS, mind you. VHS.
Yeah, his Twitter is at I Love Unions, AndyB.com/farts. That's really nice. So he doesn't have a Twitter. He has children. So, but anyway, this has been fun. Thank you guys for listening. John's going to close the show like an actual professional sometimes.
Why start now, right? Yeah. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bolty, for joining me again. And yeah, I somehow managed to enjoy it. If I was giving out grades, John, you started out like a house of fire. And this whole episode was your brainchild. So I guess that kind of makes up for you just really getting flaccid at the end there with the Bill and Ted thing. Andy, I will forever remember that story about Newsies. I've been friends with you about 12 years now, and I always knew there was a weird fixation with you and your sisters in that movie. And now I know why. I feel like I've watched a prequel. It just filled in all those gaps.
The soundtrack is very, very good for that.
And hey, it had Christian Bale in it.
And it had Christian Bale in it. It was pre-Batman, so it was Batman in New York before he was Batman, so, you know, it works.
Yeah.
I never said thank you.
And you'll never have to.
I'm not singing any Newsies songs right now.
Sing a Newsies song, Andy.
No, sing a Rockadoodle song.
I don't know any.
Sing a Bill and Ted song, John.
God be
rock and roll to you.
You know, it just for that. Once we sign off, there's a fourth. Makeup. There's a fourth gem tonight. It's Kiss doing "God Gave Rock and Roll to You." So thank you again, gentlemen. And as always, I am Johnny Teflon. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the flip side. Deuces.
it's never too late to work 9 to 5. You can take a stand or you can compromise. You can work real hard or just fantasize. But you don't start living till you realize. I gotta tell you, hell gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to everyone. Hell gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to you. Put it in your soul.
God gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to you. Say rock and roll for everyone. Say rock and roll.
Drag. But people, we have been given a gift. We have been given a road, and that road's name is
rock and roll.